your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. In this segment, I am chatting with Mark Chandler. He is managing partner over at Bannockburn Global Forex. Also writes the Mark to Market blog. Now, Mark, you and I chat every week on Friday, usually looking ahead to the next week's key catalysts and also reviewing what happened in the past week, following up on some of those news events and key catalysts. However, you know what? This week was a little bit slow, and next week there isn't a whole lot to discuss. So one thing that you and I were talking about really deals with a theme heading into this year. Everyone's talking about inflation. They continue to talk about inflation, but some other rumors that I'm hearing, and even hearing you bring this up, makes it a little bit more real for me. That is the potential of a commodity super cycle. We might be at the early stage of this commodity super cycle, as we are seeing commodities almost across the board continue to rally. We've seen some weakness in the precious metals, but you look at base metals, you look at energy metals, you look at oil, everything else does seem to be moving strongly higher. Mark, give us a little rundown of where you think, or the potential of this commodity super cycle.
Yes, I think that there's two components of it. One is, like you say, right now you've got, look at oil prices in the U.S., the March crude is finished last week pretty close to $60 a barrel. Highest. I mean, remember last April we were at negative. So the idea is that a combination of some supply discussions like OPEC cutting oil, or the Saudis announcing that they were unilaterally going to cut 1 million barrels of oil this month and next month. You've got some other like issues like that with supply. The U.S. inventories now are near the five-year average. But the real part of it, I think, for a lot of people is going to come from demand. You know, between this end of December package the U.S. had of $900 billion and this other one that they're working on, we're talking about 10% of GDP. And a lot of the idea is that I think two other branches come from that. One is strong economy. That's going to fuel demand for goods and services. And those goods prices, those raw materials will be driven up as demand jumps. But the other part of it is the sort of the financial side of it. So you get this what's happening. How do we fund this huge stimulus? More debt. And people, I think, at some point say, well, we don't want debt. We want hard assets. We want real assets. And the other issue sort of stems from this for the commodities. And I think that this is so we've got stock markets near record highs, not only in the U.S., but the Japanese market made it's at its highest level since 1991. And so I think people are seeing rising equity markets without really improving profits. And there's about $16 trillion of negative yielding bonds in the world. And so people, I think, are looking for other assets. I think that's part of the appeal, they think, to the crypto space. But here's what I think happens is that right now we want them to diversify our finance, our assets, our investments away from just paper assets. And I think that draws people to commodities. Right now, there's about, I think that the commodity, investable commodity market is about $200 billion or so. And I think it was Goldman at a conference I was at was saying that it could go up to $5 trillion, they think, in the coming years as commodities, just like early in my career, emerging markets were not really part of people's equity portfolios. Now it's almost a permanent part of a diversified portfolio. And the idea is that going forward, given the debasement of paper assets or the abundance of paper assets, if you will, that people are going to want to buy claims on real assets, commodities.
So that's a big change from what we've seen in markets, especially over this last bull market cycle. Over a decade now, we've seen, it seems like, individuals, fund managers, everybody, in a way, largely ignore commodities and simply put their money into these paper assets. You all see this changing right now, but what is spurring this change? Is it simply because markets are so high and commodities broadly haven't had their time to shine?
I think that's part of it, but I think there's another element here. when I was back in the, this must have been early 90s, we were having the SNL crisis, or a banking crisis problem in the U.S. And I remember having lunch with this famous economist at the time, Albert Wojenauer. And he was asking me, I was very early in my career, of course, and he was asking me about what like investment ideas and stuff. And I told him how much I liked gold. And he tells me, oh, interesting idea. He says, what kind of gold were you buying? And I said, well, I was looking at this one gold company. And he said to me, you're young. So he said, he'll forgive me. But all I was talking about doing, really, he said, was buying a paper claim on a gold company. I wasn't really talking about buying gold. And what this has to do with our discussion now is that up until now, people, for the most part, these portfolios, large pools of capital, have only had access to paper claims on commodities. But I think there's an effort now to like securitize commodities so that, imagine, rather than just having a paper claim on a silo full of corn, you'll have a digital, it won't be a paper asset, it'll be a digital claim. You can say, here's my corn. You own that, or you own a share of that, and you've got, say, a blockchain or something similar to that to keep like the chain of custody, if you will. So what we're talking about is the securitization of commodities that might not have been available previous to this like round of financial innovation.
Ah, so it's really just bringing commodities up to what has happened for stocks, for companies, for the broader financial market then, hey? Offering some different opportunities of how to invest in these assets?
Exactly. Making these accessible. So imagine, it's sort of like, what's the popular, gold. You have you have gold futures contract these days. You also have gold ETFs. And out of those ETFs, you got some derivatives of like 2x gold or 3x gold, whatever they do. And I think that commodities now, I think that's an evolution that we're moving. We're not there today or tomorrow, even though there might be some individual cases of this, that the big move towards commodities is going to take a while to like digitize, if you will, securitize commodities to make them available and the increased accessibility to them. So like build it and they will come.
So, Mark, you're a currency guy, and when we talk about commodities, especially a commodity super cycle, we do typically see different types of currencies, more the commodity country currencies, run higher. But you can look at different currencies, and I've heard a lot of arguments that kind of muddy that water. As a currency guy, how do you see a commodity super cycle playing out in the currency markets?
Yeah, that's interesting, huh? Because, you know, you have this, you've got this rally going on in real commodities. And you say, well, what paper asset can I buy that also benefits from it? And I think that it's two ways. One is, if you remember thinking that it's like a bit of a fad. And so there's many things that are going to affect currencies. And in this, as people are talking about commodity super cycle, and you got a rising CRB index, I'd say the Australian dollar has been quite interesting. It's been a lot stronger than people had thought. I'd say that in this past week, it is up alone about 1%, while the other dollar block currencies like the Canadian dollar and the Kiwi are up about half as much. The other element there is the Norwegian krone, which has typically also done well, not just rising oil prices, but as a proxy for rising commodities in general. But I think that the key would be that there's a lot of other things that influence currencies. But in the current mode, the current fashion, I think that the Aussie and Norway look pretty interesting.
Okay, a couple currencies to keep an eye on. Now, what about all this fiscal stimulus that is coming from governments and how it plays its role? Because, again, this argument has been muddied by the fact that fiscal stimulus over the last decade, let's say, has landed in financial markets, not so much in commodities. Is it finally trickling into commodities in your eyes?
Well, I think that's the hope. I think that's the sort of promise, if you will, is that the... that's the thing about the Australian dollar and Norway as well. It's not only that they get lifted by commodities, but they get lifted by what should be the key to the demand for commodities, and that's a booming economy. Somewhere around middle of the year or so in the U.S., we might be close to herd immunity. Europe might be a little bit behind. But assuming like the sort of base case, is that economies begin coming back in a strong way, middle of the year, Q3, that should lift commodities as well as the current high beta currencies. It's interesting too, though, that it can't make up for everything. So, for example, one of the weakest currencies this year is a huge commodity producer, Brazil. So we want to be careful that rising commodities can help some countries, but it's not necessarily a cure-all.
Absolutely. But, okay, one thing to consider here that you said is that this whole commodity super cycle is predicated on an economic restart, right?
Well, I think so, but it also might be predicated on, imagine if there's no restart. Imagine that we find that for one reason or another, the virus has mutated, our vaccines don't last for that long, and it ends up to take us several more months or quarters to get out of this. And central banks continue to provide easy money, and federal governments keep spending money. And I wonder if this portfolio diversification story for commodities could withstand that. That is to say that maybe the basement of paper money is one of the things encouraging the move to commodities. So you've got the two drivers, really, right? The debasement of paper and the possibility of a real surge in growth.
Interesting. So then, do you see any individual commodities outperforming? Right now, it seems like the EV metals and clean energies are outperforming, but in all fairness, everything has run higher.
Yeah, it's what I'm looking at, and I guess like we try to do this in other parts of our lives. Like we try to find something that hits more than like one sort of like you can like some kind of force multiplier where several themes or ideas can come together. And for me, a company that I know when I say it, many listeners are going to say it's already rallied a lot. But the company that sort of for me fits into this is a company called Energy Fuels. Stock symbol in the U.S. is UUUU. And what's interesting to me about the company, and I do own it, and I'd like to buy more if I could, is what I like about it is, first, there's one uranium mine in the U.S. This is it. And definitely not sound very ESG friendly, but here's a thing that I found that the company is doing. It is finding some of its uranium, recycling it. So mining new uranium, how else do they get uranium? Recycling. And as a byproduct, and it's not, and for sure I'm more of a currency person than a meteorologist or a metallurgist, but I'm under the impression that as they get this uranium, one of the byproducts, where the uranium is this other metal, I'm going to mispronounce it, vanadium.
Vanadium.
Vanadium, yep. Vanadium, which is used for these batteries, so it retains energy very well. And in the U.S., we are very dependent on China, Malaysia for rare earths. And this company is also beginning to process some rare earths. So to me, it hits on several different of these points they were talking about. The commodity cycle, that should be good for the EV and the and uranium. Green. Recycling, the rare earths, economic nationalism, bringing that stuff back here. And so I like the idea, and I still do, even though the stock is, I think, and I don't want to overstate this, but I think that it has outperformed Bitcoin in the past month.
All right, Mark, final comment before we leave this interview. Do you believe that we're in a commodity supercycle right now?
I think that we could be on the foothills of one, but I'm not convinced that it's necessarily going to boost inflation. When you think about the things that we buy as consumers in high-income countries, we buy primarily services, not so commodity-intensive. Secondly, the things that we do buy of commodities tend to be not so much labor-intensive, pots and pans. My sense is that you can have higher commodity prices and not necessarily have higher inflation. This rally in oil prices, many people in the U.S., U.S. policymakers tend to see higher oil prices as a tax on consumption, not as sign of inflation. It's really a sign you can get an economic headwind on the economy.
Interesting. All right, Mark, we're going to wrap it up here. Good comments and very interesting discussion. I'm sure we'll be talking about it as we move through this year. But if we are at the start of a commodity super cycle, look out. This can last a long time and it can benefit a lot of investments in commodities broadly. Mark, again, thank you for your time this weekend. I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.